It's Aloha Broadcast Park Week here on the show. I'm Barry Martin. We've been talking with people who have come and done their duties here at the radio stations, KVUN and KVYN, over a long span of time. And we're doing all this because pretty soon we're moving out of this old place on Foster Road, and we have this fancy new studio over by the movie theaters. We'll be in there soon. And so we're looking back at this history of the place here and all the people who have worked and done their stuff on this radio station. Joining me now is Rex Stoltz, who you just told me off the air it was 92 when you came to KVO and KVY.
November 1992.
Uh-huh. Coming from at that time?
I was pretty much right out of school. I went to Washington State, degree in communications, and I wanted to get into broadcast management was my career path then, which means you start by selling radio ads somewhere and you work your way up to, you know, sales manager, GM, et cetera. So that's what I was trying to do. And interviewed all around California, and the first person that offered me a job was George Carl as a telemarketer. And so I knew right away I was not going to accept that job. And I said, well, thank you so much. I'll think about it and call you back tomorrow. And I walked out. And I'm like, that's crazy. I'm not that desperate. And I called him back the next day. I'm like, hey, thank you for the offer. I'm not going to accept it. He goes, somebody just quit. When can you start on the sales team here? And I'm like, how about Monday? And that was it. So it was 27 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. And so how long were you just doing sales?
3 years, almost exactly 3 years. Mm-hmm.
And then added in doing sports and stuff as well?
Yeah, you know, that was interesting. Right away I met Ira and just talked about sports, huge sports fan my whole life. And he said, well, you want to come with me tonight to a Napa Valley College basketball game? And I said, ah, sure, it'd be fun. I didn't know what I'd be doing. And helped them set up, and I'm doing the stats, and next thing I know, he's throwing the mic in front of my face, which I was not anticipating. And I thought, well, that's fun, and I let him know, hey, anytime I can help, let me know. And so started doing a lot of that, football, basketball, and then became the primary fill-in for Ira here on both AM and FM for a long time, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, something like that, when he would go away. And then play-by-play for Justin Siena football starting in 1994, I think, which I did for more than 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not realize. I remember when you finished up that span, I didn't, could not believe it was 20
more than
years.
20 years. Interestingly, Andy Schmidt, my friend, did the stats volunteering for the entire 20 years with me. So halfway through the first season, I went into Tom Young, and I'm like, you know, I want some money. So I went to Tom, and I said, hey, Tom, I'd like a couple things. And then I said, I'd like a tape recorder, and I want some money. And, well, how much are we talking about, Rex? We don't have a lot of money, this and that. And I think we settled on $100 a game, which I got for the entire 20-some years. And at first, it was a lot of money to me back then. You know, I hardly made any money selling radio ads. And but it's the same $100 a game for 20-some years. And most of that time, we would go out afterwards. The other guys are volunteers, Bill Dodd, Steve Meyer, whoever did the color commentary, and Andy Schmidt. And we'd go to a sports bar, a Fume or something, and I'd make sure to treat because I was the only one that's getting paid. So I actually ended up losing money every Friday night for more than 20 years, but it was so much fun.
That's a classic radio story. when you think back to that first few years, now this is still the 92 to 96 under the Tom Young venture, and then Charlie Moss made the acquisition of the station in 96. So you went through that transition.
Wait, yeah.
What are your memories of that period of time?
Yeah, around that time, I was also on the FM morning show. I was a sports guy in the FM morning show. And that was a lot of fun. I'd come in every morning, and I'd moved on from the sales position, right? Mm-hmm. So I was working in the Napa Chamber. So I'd come here, work for an hour and a half every morning before going to work for 8 hours. And then I'd come back for the afternoon drive and do the sports. So
wow.
I was doing, you know, one and a half jobs for a number of years, 5, 6 years. It was a blast. But each transition, I felt I had to resell myself and that role to whoever the new owner was, who would bring in their own, you know, people to run the on-air stuff. And I just got tired of, like, having to sell myself for really next to nothing. I mean, I'm not making enough money to justify it. Meanwhile, you know, my life got busy. And so but, you know, the people were all nice. For the most part, they were all nice and kind of into it. But
So who were you on with on those morning and afternoon drive segments?
The best was the John and Jamie show.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. And I heard Erica and Julie talking about it on the way in. It was so much fun, and we would go do those remotes somewhere, and it'd be packed, just packed. Like, people were really into it. It was kind of edgy. I mean, I remember John got in trouble once and got suspended for a couple of days and this and that, but we had fun, and it felt like there were a lot of people listening to the FM station in the morning. And I was with Karen, I think her name was, for a while, and she kind of didn't get
Karen Sheldon?
Yeah, Karen Sheldon. Yeah.
Couldn't it be more two different personalities? Johnson and Karen Sheldon.
Yeah, and she didn't get sports at all, she called it moron sports. So
that's right.
But I was trying to do sports for soccer moms anyway, basically. You know, that was kind of the demo, and I was kind of keeping it local and then, you know, stuff at that level. But it was a good time. Yeah. It was fun.
Who was on the afternoon?
Oh, I don't even remember. Oh, DJ Jay, maybe? Okay. Right. Jay Arnold, I think.
Yeah.
And a wonderful guy. We always, and Jay loved baseball, so we could, you know, off air just talk baseball forever.
Speaking of which, Jay's doing a marvelous job of historically documenting all these people and events from these radio stations this week on Facebook. He's just been posting these cool photos and bumper stickers and memorabilia because he's a major radio nerd and
major,
you know, and a historian, literally an historian of radio stations and stuff. It's really cool.
Jay's fantastic.
Yeah. So along the way, I mean, I'm sure there's a few stories that you don't, you know, tell in just any situation,
right?
But you would probably would tell in this situation, I'm thinking.
Sure, yeah. What I mentioned on Facebook last night, I previewed it, was so 1995, the Raiders come back to the Bay Area. And at the time, I was trying to do full-time sports work for interviewing and getting some opportunities like producer stuff in the city, et cetera. But, so, and one of the stations or programs I was talking to, the Sports Byline USA, is a nationally syndicated sports talk show out of San Francisco. Ron Barr hosted it. And the producer there had become a kind of a good guy to, you know, point me in directions, et cetera. So my then girlfriend, now wife, and I go away for my birthday to Mendocino. We come back, and I had a voicemail that said, hey, this is whatever his name was, and I just recommended you to do the Oakland Raiders. Be the producer, executive producer of the pre- and post-game show on the flagship station in San Francisco, which I ended up doing. It was just fantastic. And I made more money working one day a week than I did, you know, the rest of the week here in all capacities. And then the second year, we were on the network. Remember that?
Yep.
And so you and I worked and we did a we were putting together a locally hosted pre- and post-game show that I did from Character Sports Bar. And we were brainstorming.
That was the name we were looking for. Characters.
It was a good sports bar. And we were brainstorming names. And I had met Raymond Chandler, the legendary Raiders tight end, through my time the previous season down in San Francisco. And I said, well, I know Raymond's looking to get into broadcasting. So I don't know if you remember this. You and I go to lunch at Downtown Joe's with Raymond Chandler and his person, whoever it was. We walk in and we hit it off. We have a nice lunch. And I think I told him on the phone, like, look, we don't have a lot of money, you know. And so we get down to – he's really into it. He's like, nah, he's excited. We're going to do this together. And then we get down to, like, the handler must have been an agent or something. He's like, how much money are we talking about? And I think it was like $150 or $200 a game. And I think we almost heard their tires squeal. Like, they just did right up. Because we were like, but we'll put you up at Silverado. We're going to do some trade. I heard you guys just talking about trade. We can do trade. We'll get a trade out, get a room at Silverado. You and your wife come up, make a weekend of it, this and that. But we heard $150, $200 a game. We just, like, they both stood up, looked at us, shook our hands, turned and walked right out. I just thought the cojones we had to sit down with Raymond Chandler and ask him to do that. That was pretty funny.
And that was that all started right after the Raiders started doing their summer training camp here, right? Wasn't that connection?
No, I think that was. I think we did that. It was right around the same time. Yeah. It was around the same time because I was at the Napa Chamber when that happened, and so that would have been mid to late 90s.
I've been thinking that out of all the people that I've talked to this week, you're like the only one who kind of went on to have a grown up job.
For better or worse.
Most people now, of course, identify you with the Vintners Association.
Yeah,
which,
right.
How long has that I've been there now?
13 years.
13 years.
Yeah.
Time flying by.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, another funny story I thought about
yes,
I was pulling
please.
Up. Something else I did for a while was news. That was a news fill-in. I've done – so I don't remember who the news director was at the time. Might have been Henry Mulak. Might have been after him. But they're like – and it was afternoon, my first afternoon doing news. I'm in there and going through everything you told me to do and this and that. Don't worry, Rex, nothing ever happens. No, you know, nothing big is going to happen. Well, this was the day, sadly, that a bunch of, I think, Napa High students went down to Concord to that water park, and the slide collapsed, and a number of them, somebody died.
Yeah.
Quimby Gelati. Yeah.
Margie Schaefer told that story.
And so, I was back in the newsroom. Nothing ever happens. And I get a phone call. Hey, do you know anything about a water slide collapsing in the East Bay? The Napa High seniors are doing their skip day or something. I'm like, nope. And then another one. I'm like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. This is like turning into a big thing. And it was huge. Mm-hmm. And so just like, talk about getting thrown into the deep end on your very first day of, don't worry, nothing ever happens. I'm like, well, something happened.
Yeah.
It was a big day.
That's something else. I didn't really I didn't know that you did news.
For a little while. I didn't like it that much. Yeah. And so and maybe that first day. But I did that for a while. And I filled in for you for on the morning show for a number of years, too.
Yeah.
Which that was fun. That was fun. But that's a lot of work. And I don't know if you still have to push all the buttons like you did back then and hit the mark on the post on ABC Network News and, you know, the Larry Albetti and the drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just nonstop from, what, 6 to 8, and then it starts to tone down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Scott Craig was doing the news back then, and the witty banter, and it was exhilarating, but exhausting.
Agreed.
Every day, like at 9 o'clock, your brain wants to turn off. Mm-hmm. And doing play by play is somewhat similar. I mean, you're on the air for like 3 hours, speaking extemporaneously, right? And the theater of the mind and everything. But about halfway through my time at Justin, I just started assigning whoever was my color commentator, Bill Dodd, Steve Meyer, you got the halftime show. Set up your own interview, whatever you want to do. I just want to get out of here for 10 minutes,
exactly.
Go to the bathroom, not think, not talk, get some nachos, some water, come back in with 10 seconds before the second half kickoff.
Yep.
And that was terrific, actually. I mean, I really appreciate those guys for doing it.
Yeah, I've found since I came back to doing this, I have to take a break when I get off the air. I have to have like a half an hour to an hour where I'm not working on anything. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, check Twitter and mess around for a little while, eat some eggs.
Yeah.
And then I can start the rest of my day. But your brain is really fired up when you're doing this.
Yeah, I totally can relate and see how you do that.
We're talking with Rex Stultz. It's our Aloha Broadcast Park Week. I don't know how it ended up being Aloha, but you know, you came from Hawaii.
That's so right. It fits perfectly. I'm down with that.
Have you seen the new space?
I was over there for the kind of open house thing, whenever that was, last fall, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Check it out. It looks fantastic.
It's going to be really cool.
Oh, I think you guys are going to be so well off because I've been walking in here today. 27 years ago when I walked in, it's like immaculate. There's a fountain out front with carp. Everything is nice and clean and, you know, everything else. And it's quite not quite that way anymore. I'm sure the attention has been on the new place, and that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
You want another funny story?
Yes.
You know, how I knew it was time to quit doing the play-by-play for Justin Siena is my boss, Linda Reeves, the present CEO of the Napa Valley Vintners, and her recent Dick Ward was her husband. He passed away a couple of years ago. Fantastic guy. And he was a partner at Saintsbury Winery. So Linda and Dick would listen from their house in St. Helena to the Justin Siena broadcast quite often, sit out back and have some wine. And so one day I get a text. You know, Justin Siena is really good for a number of years. And I get a text second quarter, and Justin's up by 30 points. And it says, "You sound bored." And I write back, "They're up by 30 in the second quarter. I mean, what am I supposed to do?" And she said, I tell you what, if you can work in these three words in the play-by-play, you'll get a bottle of Saintsbury for each one. Honey badger, coconut, and hippopotamus. And I'm like, oh, this sounds fun. And so I would work it in to, you know, whatever, back to pass. And Justin Siena lineman darts in like a honey badger and squashes him like a hippopotamus. And I'd try to work this in without telling the color commentator or Andy, the stats guy. And they would look at me like, is Rex having a stroke? And so I'm like, this is so fun. I look down and I get a text from Linda, LOL, that's two bottles. Here are your next three words. And so I did this for almost my whole last season. I'd walk into work every morning, be a six-pack of Saintsbury Pinot on my desk. And I'm like, this is so great. And towards the end, I'm like, you know what? If I'm looking forward to doing this more than I am to the game, at that point in my life, you know, I'm busy, I got kids, I'm exhausted on a Friday, I'd much rather go home and have a glass of cab and sit by the fire. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe it's time for somebody else who was me, you know, a 20-something, you know, full of energy and wants to do this for a career to get that opportunity.
The fire in the belly.
The fire in the belly was gone. This old codger's just taken up space. So that's how I knew it was time to go. But that was a fun year, and I got a lot of good wine out of it.
I actually knew some people in a theater environment that had a similar thing. They were doing multiple performances a day of this show, and it got so boring, you're so repetitive, you don't think about it anymore. And they started having a contest about the word of the day, who gets the word in first.
Oh, I got another one. I don't know if Bill's going to call in or not, but Bill Dodd, our state senator, he and I did the games together for a long time when he was just the Culligan man. Mm-hmm. And before he got elected to the County Board of Supervisors, Assembly, Senate, et cetera. He was going to try to call in, but I'm sure he got busy up in Sacramento. So one season, we were live on tape. So we were on the AM. Ira would do the Napa or the Vintage game for Memorial Day, and that'd be live. We would broadcast live into a digital tape recorder, and at halftime, the station would send some woman up to Justin CNN, pick up the first half and run it back, and then we'd do the second half on a second piece of tape. So I hope Bill doesn't mind me telling the story. But Bill's Bill. We love Bill. It was a Friday evening. He must have gone to a happy hour or something, you know, before coming in. And he was, you know, he looked like he'd had been having some fun. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting ready to do the live on tape broadcast. And it's the pregame show. And I elbow Andy, who's on my right. Bill's on my left. I go, Andy, watch this. And I pretend to hit the play and record on the tape recorder. And I'm like, all right, we're back here on the pregame show. Let's welcome in Bill Dodd. And Bill was on the Board of Supervisors by then. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, Bill, looks like you've had a few before you walked in today. And his eyes got super wide, his jaw dropped, and he backed away. I'm like, it's okay, you know, and I just went on with it for about 30 seconds. Oh my God. He looked like he wanted to kill me. And then I'm like, just messing with you, dude. I didn't hit play and record. And we all got a good laugh out of that one.
Wow, you are the prankster.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was a good prank.
That was a very good one.
I told you off the air about the Canocti when we used to do station trips up to Canocti, another mm-hmm. big trade out thing. Mm-hmm. And I try to sneak into coworkers' rooms and you know, call the front desk for early morning wake up calls for like 4 o'clock. I'm like, hey, this is Dominic Fontana in room, you know, 216. I need an early 4 o'clock wake up call. Okay, thank you, Mr. Fontana. And the next day you'd see people at breakfast are like, you wouldn't believe it, I got a wake up call at 4 a.m. So much fun.
You're a troublemaker.
So much fun.
Yeah. I should put you in charge of April Fool's Day next year.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. I'd love that.
All right. Yeah. Well, I think we've used up all of our time. It flew by. Rex Stoltz, as I said, now with the Napa Valley Vintners, and longtime important presence here at Broadcast Park.
I don't know about that, but it's been very meaningful and directly relevant to all the success I've had in my career up till now, and even meeting my wife. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in Big Red at a remote broadcast when I met my wife. I mean, so and the friendships I've made, it's been terrific.
That's good.
Yeah,
thanks for being here. Good way to wrap things up.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this go round.